Jeffrey, if you will do a roll call.
Dale Calvert.
Here.
Glenn Grabowski. Graham Hughes.
Here.
Neela Lathan.
Here.
Holly McAdam.
Here.
Larry Morava. Jimmy Mortimer.
I'm here.
Kathy Rivers. Alexis Ryland.
Here.
Jim Sayer. Jeffrey Stewart is here. Zach Yenser.
Here.
Did I miss anyone? We have a quorum.
All righty. So now is the time for a call to the audience. We will move on to the review, discussion, and hopeful approval of the minutes from last month, which was June 24. So hopefully you've had a good chance to review those minutes. And do I have a motion to approve?
I review the minutes and move to approve them.
Great. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Dale. Is there any discussion on the minutes? All right. All in favor of approval? Please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions? All right. And then we have the acting chairperson's report, which I don't really have anything. So we will move on to election of chairperson. So I think last month we tried this unsuccessfully because we didn't have any nominations. And we kind of have a little bit of a low attendance this time. So, I mean, you know, we could always nominate somebody who's not here. Glenn would probably be great. He's been on board for a long time.
Glenn or Graham.
My effort is out of touch. So, do any of you have any nominations to be the chairperson? And I don't know, is it a 2-year then, or is it one? Do you
it's
know?
It's 2. I believe it's 2. Okay. Yeah, I can double check, but I'm pretty sure it's 2.
Yeah, I think maybe we started with 1, but it seemed like this year we decided to stretch it out to 2, which might make a little bit more sense. All right, anybody? Nominations?
Jeffrey, don't look at me.
Jim's here. This is
well
meetings.
I would nominate Janine.
Really, after all of that?
Well, it's the second meeting in a row, and you're doing an excellent job.
And I told somebody, I don't know, I said, if there's absolutely, seriously, nobody else will do it, I will do it. So I want to do it, I will do it.
I'll second that.
Oh, all right, is there any discussion?
How about if we don't remove the acting or interim title and continue to cultivate, search for, and rise up other nominees? But in the meantime, don't have to deal with the issue every meeting as you
yes, that would be lovely. Sure, that's fine. And I don't know that takes any action or anything. We'll just kind of leave it as it is and take it off as a agenda item for a handful of months to kind of see where we are. And if there's any leadership rising in the ranks, we can put it back. All right.
And while we're looking for leadership, if anyone has a burning desire to be clerk,
perhaps we can combine the two.
I think it would be kind of hard to have the two roles in one, just yeah. Because Jeffrey's got a lot of note taking and stuff like that to do in that role. All right, perfect. We will thank you for the creative solution to that. All right, and then the next item is electing a Park Tucson Commission member to the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. I think we talked about that also last week.
Right, an email was sent with some information. The link for Complete Streets Tucson is up on the screen. If you want me to go to any particular information, there is information about the Coordinating Council. and there is an application. So once the member is voted on and selected, they would have to go and apply on the website. So there's a lot of good information here, but not sure if you want to review that.
And I think was Jill the person that was on last time? Yeah, I know she spoke very highly of the committee as well. And then do we have a set period of time within which we need to appoint somebody?
We do not. We do not. But we do have a seat on the council.
All right. Are there any nominations or is there any interest from any of the commission members to be on the Complete Streets Coordinating Council?
I will think about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, then that would be great.
I'll talk to you later about what they do.
Okay.
And some things there. I am familiar with it. We work in conjunction on the 411 Streets program. They're concentrating a lot on that issue, although historically they also have worked on the adoption of the Complete Streets format of the priorities for streets, et cetera. We see a lot of that background, but at this point they're working a lot on the 20% of the 411 sales tax that is available for safety and et cetera. Okay, so I can ask you some questions about it.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll leave that on for next month, and after you've had a chance to think about it, Jeffrey, we will we'll address that again next month. All right, so we're moving on to the administrator's report.
Thank you, Janine. Appreciate it. For on-street parking meter status report, 130 meters out of service. We are doing a better job at getting the critical numbers down. The warnings are up, but the criticals are what we're focusing on. We do have 72 brand new meters in the shop that will go out into the field soon. I think we're going to start with the replacement of the Paseo Redondo lot meters first. And that won't even take 72 of those meters. I think that's about half of those meters. And we'll get the other half out into the field as well. Parking service agent staffing levels. We currently have four PSAs out of 11. We did have another one leave recently. But the good news is we held interviews and we offered four folks jobs. And we have two additional on the cert list. So six total that we could, that we can invite on to offer a job. We're waiting on the start dates. We haven't heard back from HR. I think that HR does is they reach out to everybody and tries to get a kind of a common start date. Sometimes they're staggered, but we're just waiting for HR on that and pushing HR along to get us those folks quickly. Student commuter parking program activity. JR, may I ask you for a quick summary of that?
Yeah, so we started July 15th. We've already processed about 120. We have another 15 or so in the queue right now waiting to get processed. We will go through the end of business day Friday, and then it gets turned off, and then we will start August 1st for new parkers. But right now we're about 20 permits over what we normally sell for renewals. Renewals usually average somewhere between 75 and 100 permits, but we're already at 120 this year, so it seems like our renewals are doing a lot better.
Thank you. Yeah, good activity. I know the staff is really busy handling all those renewals. It's all hands on deck, so thank you guys for handling all those. August 25 parking newsletter. I'm going to bring this up here because we do have a visual. Let's see if I can find it here real quick. I did combine everything into a folder here, so it would be a little easier for me to grab. Here we go. Lindsay, this is it, right?
Yeah.
Lindsay, if you don't mind, just walk us through what we're seeing here on our newsletter.
Yeah, sure. So each section has a click-through that goes to somewhere on the website. We start off, so it goes from left to right. Start off with the monthly permit options, and then Tucson Comic Con's coming up, so I figured we'd put that in there. New rates for annual parking permits, and then I combine like the Welcome Back Wildcats with student commuter permits. It kind of made sense. And then I didn't know what else to put in there, so I just started clicking through the website and decided, got a ticket. Okay, that might be something worth throwing in there. And then he wanted the new paid parking at the Mercado, so we threw that in there. And on the bottom right, those three, they're each an individual thing that you can click on. So one of them will take you to the special events parking, and then how to download, you know, the free Go Tucson Parking app, and then another thing about the extended parking meter hours.
Great. It looks really good, colorful, and really informational. Thank you, Lindsay.
Yeah, and I can also still make updates to it, so if you guys want anything else added to it, just let me know.
Perfect. And there was a couple other items that you were working on here that I kind of wanted to show off. I don't know if you can walk us through this a little bit. These are our page views, right? And essentially, you know, what we're seeing is the most visited page is our home page, right? And then followed by daily and visitor parking. And then, surprisingly enough, extended parking meter hours. So I think this was during the month of June, June 1st through the 14th. So, you know, Lindsay has this software and these reports available, so we can see traffic views on our website pages. There was a month, this is the month leading up to the meter enforcement hours, and still the same, you know, top three there. That was May, because we definitely had the word out. And there's probably not much change here, but just want to point it out. Yeah, this was a little different. Homepage, daily visitor, and then on-street parking permit program. So you can see the students, the renewals, they're on their website, applying for parking and visiting our website. Commuter Monthly is next, so that's our employee parking in our garages and lots, and then mobile pay. So thank you, Lindsay, for putting this together, and if the commission has any questions about that, let us know if you want to see more information. All right, future products preview. I wanted to talk a little bit about text-to-pay. A new product that we have coming out, and I know some of you have already seen this, so I'll try to go through this rather quickly. But we do have a quick video I wanted to play for you. Text to pay is it's essentially a competitor to the app, right? Instead of downloading an app, you can just text a number and pay through your phone. So I just wanted to show you this 1 minute video. Text to pay does have a convenience fee passed on to the customer. It's going to be 35 cents, 5 cents more per transaction than our app is currently charging. We don't determine that. The companies that provide the products determine that. And we are not paying anything for text to pay to be rolled out. The stickers are free, and I wanted to show what those stickers are going to look like because we're going to have so we have to let people know. You know, our apps are advertised with stickers and signs, but The text to pay is simply just going to be a sticker on the bottom portion of the meter. It's going to have a space number and the instructions. There's some instructions here that are very hard to read from here, but it's a different color than the app. You know, our app is yellow and white. This is going to be a teal color. And we think that it's going to be really beneficial for visitors out of town, folks who don't want to download another app. You know, they just want to quickly text and pay that way. So that's text to pay. We're excited. We have a scoping meeting for that today or tomorrow.
Tomorrow
with IPS. So hopefully getting that rolled out really soon. And then the other item I wanted to let you know that we're doing is Spot Block. It's our online meter reservations. And if you remember a few months ago, probably 6 months ago, we were talking about an online meters reservation system that we conducted a soft launch of. That system was provided by IPS, who provides our meters. And it was kind of in its infancy. I think only one other city was doing it with them. And JR was leading that project. He reached out to several of the frequent meter reservation customers, worked with them and with our team, and we determined it wasn't for us. It wasn't the right program. We don't want to just, you know, throw anything out there. So we talked with Passport, who provides our app. They do an online reservation system as well, and it's called Spot Block. This is just a quick little cut sheet. The customer does all the work. They go in and select a date, they select the meter location, and they pay for it on online. So it takes a lot of the labor away from the staff. It's going to free our staff up. We probably spend, you know, upwards of 5 to 10 hours a week, if not more, just doing reservations. So it's not going to take all of it away from us. We still want to approve the reservations. You can't just go willy-nilly reserving spots. We're not going to allow that until we take a look at it. So we look at things like neighboring businesses, special events, anything that we can think of that might be a conflict in there. So this is what Spot is, and we're excited to roll that out. It should be a good thing for our customers and for our office.
And that's for commercial users, right? That's not, I can't go on the thing as a resident and say I want to close off parking in front of X, Y, Z business.
Correct. JR, do we ask for proof like they're a contractor or a special event or a nonprofit?
We'll ask what the use is for.
Okay.
If it's for construction, food trucks, special events, we'll do it. But if it's just for parking in front of the business, no, we won't allow it. So there is going to be there is going to be what you're using it for. And then we have areas in there we haven't really talked about, but if you're doing construction, we can ask for like the construction permit to be uploaded so that we can confirm that you are doing construction. So there is documents that we can require.
The cost for reserving a meter is $11 a day. That went up from $9 a day when we extended our meter hours. We do offer a half price nonprofit rate, $5.50. So we do that. And then if it's a city event, we're not usually charging the other departments, even though we try. So that's kind of how that works. Excited about that. All right, my last item on the administrator's report is Tucson High School preparation. So I'm just going to bring up something you've probably seen before. This is from last year. This was a meeting held in August of 24, and I wanted to let you know that we're having our 25 meeting tomorrow, the 23rd. Yeah, tomorrow. And we have members of Tucson Police, Park Tucson, Tucson Unified School District meeting remotely this time, not in person, to just go over what the plan is for the ingress and egress around Tucson High School. We want to make sure the group understands the impacts of the neighborhoods, that's Iron Horse and around the school. And JR, if I can remember correctly, essentially we get complaints from the neighbors about cars parked in front of homes, loitering.
Mm-hmm. Just idling for hours, waiting to be picked up.
Idling, things like that. So those are the typical complaints that we see. They don't care where they stop. It'll be in a no parking area. It'll be in front of a driveway. It'll be in front of a permit zone. And that's the things that we see. So these were some ideas that we threw out to Tucson High School, converting some of their property into additional drop-off or pickup areas, just because the streets just get really crowded. Park Tucson does not enforce purposely in this area during pickups and drop-offs. It's just too much for us. It can get quite dangerous, actually, with the mentality of the parents and the drop-offs. I'm going to do what I want, get out of my way. So we really the real impact for this is the orientation. So we rely on Tucson High School to educate their parents and students about drop-offs. So they put together this this little slide deck. It's really clear, it's really informational, and I think they did a really good job. So it talks a little bit about the background, why there's issues, what some of these issues are. They talk about Iron Horse, being respectful. They talk about other parking options away from the school. They talk about the offerings from the City of Tucson and U of A for our parking options. There's all of our meters and parking options around downtown, around Tucson High. And they really try to get a lot of tips out to the students and the parents. I'm not going to go through all this, but they break down the parking lots. And it's a really lengthy, in-depth, this is for buses here on 6th and Euclid. So it's really good, and we're just going to talk with the school and encourage them to just get the word out. So there's even disciplinary items there. There's appointments, and Tucson High takes their visitors and their security really seriously. So so there you go. That's pretty much a synopsis of that. And I'll take any questions about any of the topics I just talked about.
All right, are there any comments or questions?
Back to the text to pay, we talked about it a little bit in the marketing committee, but the ability to differentiate that from the app so that it doesn't create sort of a layered dysfunction for users. Other than the difference in the color stickers, is there any way to publicize that that's a completely separate program and you can choose one or the other?
Yeah, I know on our website and social media, we will be aggressive in advertising that and talking about it. It's just one sticker that the consumer is going to see out on the street. I don't think we wanted to put additional signage because I think that would get too busy. So we are concerned about that, though. The kind of the bleed over of the app into the text and that information. What IPS was telling us was if the customer, this is their typical experience, the customer just reads what's on that sticker and follows those instructions, they should be fine. Don't look anywhere else, just follow the instructions on the sticker. The one word that can be confusing is the word zone. We have zones on our apps. They use the word zone as a parking space. They would not give us the stickers for free. If we changed that, we'd have to go buy the stickers. So we're taking the free stickers, going to use the word zone, and we'll be monitoring that for any complaints, issues, and make any changes if we have to. But yeah, it is a little concerning. But hopefully with the different colors and the stickers, we should be okay.
So
even if they hit the zone,
their drivers, their license plate numbers on there also, right? So I mean, at least we would know that they, like, that parking.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So actually license plate number, I don't think text to pay is gonna do that because it's a space number, right? Whereas the app can do space also and pay, but it depends on the area.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay, because I saw that it asked you on that prompt. It asked for your license plate number.
Okay.
On the little video.
Okay, got it, got it.
It's probably how it was set up in that city. That city is pay by plate, where ours is pay by space.
Okay.
So they probably won't ask for a license plate number with ours, unless you're like the Mercado, where we have a multi-space pay station, where it's done by license plate. So at the Mercado area, it'll be by pay by plate, but if you're downtown, 4th Avenue or University, it'll be pay by space.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when is that
going
now?
Hopefully within 2 weeks. Going for 2 weeks from today. We have our scoping meeting, a little programming, and we'll work with Lindsay to get the word out.
All right, so moving on to our next agenda item, which is the extended parking meter enforcement hours activity.
All right, thank you. So June 2nd, we extended the parking meter enforcement hours. We wanted to give you a little snapshot of what activities resulting from this. We have three things to look at. The first thing we want to look at was citations. So these dates here are Saturdays from June 21st, four Saturdays to July 12th. And then these are Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Numbers for the same time frame. So you can see 638 citations were issued, 246 warnings. The warnings, you can see we focused on the extended time periods. So downtown University area, focusing on that. We gave warnings for a 2 week period in a university and downtown. And we did a 4 week warning period at Mercado. And when we ended that, we heard about it. So we did get some work. As much as we try to get the word out, it doesn't hit everybody. So just so you know, we're out there, we're enforcing, we're educating, and we feel it was a good idea to do this during the summer. The other thing I wanted to show you was our revenue that we're seeing. And I have to thank Erica and Gio for putting all this together. You can see Downtown University and Mercado separated out. This is day by day, starting the first day of the rollout. And as you progress, you'll see the numbers go up. Saturdays are big days. So that's the first trend that we're seeing pop out. Saturday's a busy day, and our additional revenues is really showing here. So for that monthly period, when we go all the way to the end, 34,000 in downtown, 6,800 in university, and then a modest 3,400 at Mercado. We know Mercado because it was warnings only at first. We didn't have a lot of compliance or as much compliance as we wanted, but we think that compliance rate is going. So that's just an idea of the additional revenue. And
when we first started the conversation about extended meters, you had projected revenue numbers. How close are these to those?
So with the first month, it's tough to say. The additional revenue from Mercado was going to be in the $130,000 a year range, I believe. So we're definitely not on that track there right now, but under $4,000. For the month, but we feel we'll watch it. You know, I know JR will watch it as we keep going, and Erica as well, to see where we stack up with our guests. I feel confident we're going to reach about 130,000, and our enforcement's going to help with that as well.
Any feedback from merchants?
Originally, yes, at Mercado, there were two managers, one at the coffee place and one at the next door restaurant, claiming they didn't know anything about, you know, what was happening. So I met with them actually in person. I went down to their stores, talked to them, showed them all the information, apologized that they didn't receive the information. But the complaints were that, you know, not as many people are going to visit, that they're going to find free parking further away, that the avenue looks empty because people aren't parking there. And I saw some of that. I saw some evidence of that. And I think that that's probably just the initial reaction. I think as Mercado gets developed, there's not going to be that many parking options. On street's going to be your best bet. So I think the avenue will fill up, and I think customers will get used to it. But we definitely had some complaints right off the bat. The pay stations out there are operating. We have 5 out of 8 installed. And you know, people are getting used to them. They're new for folks. So we worked with the company to streamline the process as much as possible, took out any bugs and confusing sticking points along that process. For example, when it says, to get the next screen, you're supposed to hit a button to enter your license plate. So you hit the button, and all of a sudden your license plate has a J to start. So we fixed that. Things like that, just to make the experience a little bit better. And we can put additional signage up there too.
We went to SACE on Friday, and my brother-in-law looked at the space station and was like, no. Too many bugs.
Too many bugs. But you probably saw the app signs. You can pay by app. And we might find out that app is the majority use at Mercado. It very well could be. There's a base station at each block. So you sometimes have to walk away, from your destination and then walk back,
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah, we tried to get them in the middle of the blocks, to try to address that. I think the app is going to be use the majority of the time versus the pay stations. I don't even think we've done a collection at the pay stations for coins. We haven't had to do that yet. So we're recording the information, submitting it, but haven't collected it yet.
Would people opting to use the app versus the pay station undermine the cost effectiveness of the pay stations? Because weren't they provided to us by the parking company?
3 were provided. Okay. If we agreed to do text to pay, that was our deal.
Okay.
And we wanted to do text to pay anyways. But they were relatively inexpensive. The machines, I think, were like $10,000 to $12,000 each.
Yeah.
So I think, the ROI is less than 6 months for that. So I think they'll pay for themselves pretty quickly.
All right.
Real quick, I just wanted to show one more thing because JR just did this for me recently, and that is, let's see, here it is. We wanted to look at last June versus this June in terms of transactions. So you can see last June, 83,000 parking meter transactions. This June, 107,000. Increase of 30%. That's pretty dramatic. I wasn't expecting that much. GR also did us the favor of showing us the transaction type. So this surprised me too. More coins than credit cards. So 40% of the transactions are coin-based. 31% are credit card. The app is actually just behind credit cards. So our smart card is something we do offer here at the office. You can buy a smart card. You load it up with $20 and you get $25 worth of parking value out of that. So, we're not selling too many of those, but hopefully in the future we sell more. So a big increase. So more transactions, more folks are paying.
I wonder if the smart card is something we can focus on some, advertising and getting the word out, to people. Because, that's kind of a good deal.
Yep.
Especially for people that are, downtown.
Yeah.
Frequently on nights or weekends or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, Lindsay will definitely talk about the smart card and publicizing that.
And that's specific to Park Tucson operations. It doesn't have any other application.
Correct. Just Park Tucson.
Yeah,
Zach. What do you chalk this up to?
Folks are complying with our additional extended meter hours enforcement. So it's the extended hours, the Saturdays. That's the contributor.
So this may be jumping over time 13. So if we need to pay in the parking lot, that's okay. But I know that there's some efforts to look at data as we progress through the extension process. There's a lot of concerns internally from merchants, from us, from others we were talking to about would that extended enforcement decrease traffic downtown? Would Fourth Ave see a hit? Would downtown see a hit? I know it's just 1 month and it's just the first month, but is this reason for encouragement that we're not seeing that downturn that some were concerned about?
I think it is encouraging for the additional transactions. I think it shows compliance. What I was envisioning to determine what how the businesses were affected was the following year going and looking at tax totals for the city taxes. We do have an ability. I think there's public information about that. You know, so we're gonna look at tax revenue for the city next year to see what the impacts are. That's what some of the other cities did to gauge the successfulness and effectiveness and the impact. So that's something we'll definitely look at in the next few months.
So this is less about the transaction itself and more about the amount that each transaction is?
No, this is the number of transactions.
The number, okay, so that's not dollar amount.
No, sorry. Yeah, these are not dollar amounts.
Then, okay.
Yeah, these are just the pure number of transactions.
But it does seem to indicate that there is just more activity, and if there's more activity, hopefully that means there's more people going in and out of shops and restaurants and all of that in the parking areas.
That's right.
Which, yeah.
Or is there a way to look at that data of the percentage of these transactions that occurred between 5
Yes,
and
right. That was my next question.
You're looking at 20.
Is that curb turnover? Or
yeah, you're looking at 21 hours of data.
My last 2 hours.
What's that?
And, yeah.
You're looking at 21 hours of data that wasn't there in June of 24.
Okay.
You've got 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, plus 11 hours on a Saturday. So you're looking at 21 hours of data that wasn't there in June of 24. So you're not getting an accurate read on what's there, because all of that 24, there was nothing there. So yes, it's a 30% increase, but we don't have the ability to look at occupancy to see what it is because we didn't have that data in 24. So we have no numbers to base it against.
And in the future, we can possibly break this out into times and days, you know, transactions. We have that ability as well. If you look at just the number of hours that were increased, I think it was about a 45% increase in the number of hours, the numbers you just repeated. So. An increase about 45% in the number of hours that are paid parking, and a 30% increase on transactions. So they're not quite matching there. So that's another thing to look at. But only 1 month in. So I think July, and especially August when the students are back, we'll just get a better idea.
And your idea about looking at tax-based revenue, that's sales tax generated in zones where the parking extension was.
Yes, exactly.
And then you would just compare on like the year before when we didn't have the extended hours and then the year after when we did.
Exactly.
All right, is there any more discussion on the extended parking hours? So then we will move on to the Mercado District Parking Area Development Parking Plan.
All right. So I wanted to show everybody the latest information. So just a little refresher, there's two large residential apartments that will be developed in the area of Congress and Linda, just west of the I-10. One's called the Linda Apartments for right now, one's the Congress Apartments. They will be branded differently. So each, as you know, each residential complex that gets developed has a requirement for the number of on-site parking spaces. So the city does require 1.25 spaces per unit. So in this particular case, 77 units, total required spaces was 96. There are typical reductions that do take place. The city does approve these pretty often. 6 spaces reduced for long-term bike parking, that gets you to 90. And the developer is asking for a very aggressive 29 space total. So 61 spaces reduced from 90. The next, this is just the map here. That's where this is my Linda Apartments. Oh, I went too far. It's up here. So this is the Congress apartments. So 1.25, of course, you start with 84, reduction. They're asking for 41 space relief for a total of only 17 spaces on site. This has brought the attention of Menlo Park neighborhood, adjacent businesses, residences, a lot of trepidation over the amount of parking being reduced. So currently, what we're doing here is there's a review committee. So, you know, this is from our IPP folks. It goes out to a lot of departments, including us here at Park Tucson. This is the typical request from Planning Development Services, looking for our comments. So we review it. They're due by August 4th. We're gonna get them in this week, actually. So there's really just a committee, and it takes about 6 weeks for them to review all this. Our opinion is that the parking space reduction request is too aggressive, and we're putting together an argument to say why. The last update I received from planning was this right here. Since the notices were mailed, we have received two protests for the Congress apartment, the IPP. The reasons provided had to do with density, access from Congress and Bonita, and not enough parking on site. And I have to mention, Congress and Bonita, there are traffic issues right now. Mm-hmm. There is a future safety enhancement project on Congress that's gonna reduce a traffic lane as well. They're putting bicycle lanes, larger bicycle lanes on Congress west of I-10. So that is also a concerning League residents. Not only are we adding more cars, but less street. So right now, PVSD said they're not 100% sure where we're going with this. And the latest version of the IPP request, the developer put a lot of their side of the argument. And their side of the argument has to do with their previous experience developing multifamily residents in other cities and the demographics of the residents of these apartments. They're focusing on they're marketing to the single right out of college job seeker or job holder that does not have a vehicle. They're gonna use the streetcar, they're gonna use the busing, they're gonna walk. That's what they're saying is gonna be the majority of the residents. So we're saying prove that, you know, how do you do that? And they're submitting, you know, argumentative statements to support that. So that's where we are right now. It's in the review process. The last sentence here is I asked a subcommittee or the commission may submit a letter regarding the IPP for consideration as well. So this is due, what did I say? I think it was August 4th. So if the commission wants to do a letter about this and support your sort of position and pass it along, that is something that the commission can vote on to conduct.
So you said somebody heard that there had been two protests launched. Who submitted those?
That was the neighborhood, Menlo Park neighborhood. And I don't know the other one. I'm sorry.
So approval for the reduction in space per the norm comes from a separate entity outside of planning and zoning?
There's an input from a committee. There is a citizen committee that looks at it, but PVSD makes the final decision.
Okay, and so far there's been two protests submitted, and there's an August 4th deadline. All right, are there any comments or is there any input about whether the Parking Commission should submit a position letter on what we think about this requested reduction?
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's just such an aggressive reduction, and you know,
somehow they can show that, you know, they're only going to take applicants for their apartments that don't have cars or, you know, something like that, that would be great. But, you know, I don't know, Tucson seems like it's such a still, I mean, unfortunately, a car-heavy culture here. And it's so warm in the summer that I think a lot of times people just feel like they can't get around without, you know, without one. So if we were to submit a position letter, what's our process for doing that?
So you would vote, the body would vote to do a letter, and you would assign someone to draft it, and then at the next meeting review the letter. You can talk individually one-on-one, but no group discussion, and staff can't assist with that. You bring that draft back, which we're actually going to look at the another letter we're working on for transit funding here, and it's the same process. You vote, and then the letter can be delivered directly to Mayor Council by the commission or through staff. Go directly, and I can provide instructions on how to do that.
But we need to submit it before August 4th. Mm-hmm. We need to submit it before there's going to be another meeting.
Right. Do a special meeting again. Yeah, we'd have to vote for a special meeting.
Okay. So we would need to have a draft, I think, of the letter prepared fairly quickly, circulated, and then get on a quick Teams meeting before the 4th.
Yes, that's one way. The other thing I can recommend, if we don't want to do that, is to provide me your input, and I will include that in our comments to the IPP. So I can integrate that into our response that we owe to that community.
That might be the most efficient thing, given our deadline that's coming up.
Okay. Okay. Tucson Commission voted unanimously to condemn the drastic reduction in parking spaces. It's what, 20%? They're looking for 20% of what they should.
Correct, only to provide about 20% of what they should.
Did you get that? Do we need to repeat it?
Please report it.
So do we need to have a formal motion?
Do we need to do that?
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
All right, so Jeffrey, do you want to submit a motion?
Yep, so I move that we direct Tom to include our vote in the letter that he's submitting. Really? To include the language of the Park Tucson Commission has voted unanimously to condemn. Do we actually need to say RIC Engineering or just the correct plan?
The request.
For the parking reduction of approximately 20% of recommended spaces.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you guys very much. All right, so yes, we will move on then to the next item, which is the letter to Mayor and Council regarding Park Tucson and transit funding.
I will get that onto the screen here, and you should have a paper version of that.
Summarize it quickly, and thanks to Zach for authoring it. He and I both reviewed it. It basically puts the position forward that Park Tucson has made some dramatic changes in parking fees and rate parameters or timing in recent months, and that any additional efforts will serve to undermine the success that's been achieved with the recent implementation by basically just piling on
There's also an indication there that revenues generated by Park Tucson should go to fund Park Tucson priorities and initiatives, including debt payment, versus being swept into the general fund and Park Tucson revenues being seen as a revenue source for general fund operations.
Dale from the finance side had some good feedback over the weekend. It does not alter the nature of the letter, but adds a couple of, I think, important points that I'm sure I felt like we could live verify, maybe add in and practice it, that sort of thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Those comments are basically a little bit of history about where we got and how the funds and the efforts that have gone in from the commission prior, and the fact that rebuilding reserves needs to be one of the charges. I submitted to over the weekend the draft. Did you have that?
So was that a draft with some edits to this?
It was in correct term on Dale, it was a couple of tweaks to just the first paragraph of point number two.
Yeah, the first part of the paragraph, and then there was another sentence towards the last. So if I can get in the right photo, I can probably read that.
Okay, yeah, because if you have that, you can read it, then we can vote to accept that with those additional edits.
Yeah. Yeah, I have it up if you want to. So again, this is related to just that first paragraph. So Dale's suggestion was, since Park Tucson was founded, the commission has operated under the assumption that we are obligated to operate as a self-supporting organization and needed to accumulate reserves to deal with the inevitable ups and downs in operations. Accordingly, we went into the pandemic with approximately $1.5 million in reserves. Over the past year, Park Tucson has collaborated closely with city administration, the Department of Transportation and Mobility, and our commission's Finance and Capital Needs Subcommittee to develop a multi-year financial recovery plan. This roadmap accounts for post-COVID revenue stabilization, increased downtown security costs, and long-term debt service obligations. The commission feels that the recovery plan should also include the accumulation of adequate reserves in addition to the above listed items. The additional revenue from the extended meter hours is already built into this plan, and early indicators suggest it positions the program on a viable path to sustainability. So again, I think it's broadly the same as that first paragraph with some really important background from the Finance and Capital Needs Subcommittee.
And the big thing that I was looking for there is to give the history and to add in to the priorities that were already listed there, an additional priority which was building reserves.
And again, that is related to the first paragraph of point number two.
Right. All right, so do I have a motion to adopt the draft of the letter to mayor and council with the edits as read by Zach to the first paragraph under item two?
So moved.
I'll second.
Second, thanks, Zach. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And again, this is all in advance of August 6th. Study session. Okay. So this has been a couple months of machinations to get to this point. So thanks to staff and everybody for the help getting here.
Absolutely. And you can provide staff a copy of the final letter and we can get that over. And you can also send it directly and I can provide instructions on how to send it directly to the council.
Okay.
Okay.
So moving on, we've got the Neighborhood Reinvestment Program Review.
Okay. Remember this? Okay, so it's been almost a year, everybody.
Has it been?
September's when we finalized it, so it's pretty close to a year.
Can't wait.
I need to give you an update on what the funds look like for this coming year. So the first thing I want to show you is I want to remind you about our last year's balances. So let me try to find that. That is from 2024. So if you remember this sheet, it was neighborhood by neighborhood. And this is like just 24, right? This is just looking at 24. Each neighborhood had a total here. So just to remind everybody what this is comprised of, meter net income, 10% of meter net income if there's meters in the neighborhood, that contributes to the funds. Meter exemption permits were actually included in residential, so disregard that. You have your residential permit revenue, non-residential permit revenue, and then shared parking revenue. You get a total and you multiply that by the participation percentage of the neighborhood. You get the participation percentage by dividing the number of permits sold by the number of available to be sold permits. You get to a total, and then there's a $3,000 cap per year that each neighborhood can achieve. So, you know, in this case, Aubrey Park last year, they earned $5,900, but they actually only got $3,000. So depending on the neighborhood, whether you're below or above $3,000, that's what that looks like. So just for comparative reason, just want to keep an eye on the total here. So last year, $25,000 in earned total with the $3,000 cap. So drum roll for 2025. Let me blow this up a little bit more. Okay, so if getting straight, this is what we're looking like in 2025. We ran the numbers last week. I'll consider them almost final. I don't think these numbers are going to change. We did a really good job, Erica. Thank you very much for getting this all put together. You can see the participation percentages for each neighborhood and their totals. So Armory Park, 3,000 again, Barrio Viejo, 591, London Elm, 2,200, Dunbar Spring, 11 bucks, El Presidio, 1,000, Feldman's, 1,900, Iron Horse, 1,925, down to the final seven here. Jefferson Park earned 369, North University, a $3,000 cap. Pine Island, 795. Rincon Heights had to settle for 3,000. Sam Hughes had to settle for 3,000. And West University, which is a big one, with all their non-res, you know, that really drives that. Residential and non-res, honestly. They had to settle for 3,000. So, total of 23,971 for this year.
Can you make a note to send me that?
Absolutely, we'll send you that. And for the totals, because we do have a running total, let me make sure I get that on the screen here. Where did that go? There it is, total. So this is our running total all the way back to 2016. So I'm just gonna go all the way to the end here. And I would just, you know, this is what we just looked at, the earned revenue here. And then this is your total balance per neighborhood right here. The sheet was divided as pre-2020 and post-2020 due to COVID. So you can kind of disregard this. This is included in column X. So you can see the totals of each neighborhood in their funds. So you can see San Hughes has almost $30,000. Rincon Heights has $41,000, and so on. However, in the current fiscal year, they can only spend $30,000 each. So, you know, that means that you know, Recon Heights, even though they have 41,000 in their bank, they can only spend 30,000 in this current fiscal year. So that's what that means.
So the earnings cap is 3 and the expenditure cap is 30.
Correct. Correct.
So you can accumulate that $3,000 until they reach 30.
No, they can't. They can keep accumulating year after year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they can hold on to it. You don't have to spend it. last year, I just want to show the two red negatives in here. Those are good negatives. These are completed projects, 2024 expenditures. Sand Hughes and Armory Park both did great projects. So that was $60,000 taken away from this total account. So, you know, at the end here, you know, we have about $300,000 sitting here. We had about $320,000-ish last year, so this total has gone down. That's the whole point of this. They are using it, but you know, it's a you know, you earn some, you spend some, and we were really lucky last year. Only two neighborhoods applied. Those were the only two neighborhoods. There were not other neighborhoods that reached out to us. So those two neighborhoods got those projects done, and they were executed through Jesse Soto, our neighborhood traffic mitigation program. And the plan is to send a letter out to each neighborhood with the total that they earned this year and their grand total, with a reminder of the rules. And I just want to bring that up here one last time to show us what those, basically it's the summary of the program. Just make this a little bigger. So we talked about this in August of last year. This is the code that allows the city to do this. These are the summary of program revenue fund sources. We talked about how the percentage is calculated. And earned funds are carried over. Individual neighborhoods can spend a minimum of $1,000, max of $30 per year, $3,000 cap of earned funds each year. Park Tucson can only spend $60,000 per year. So, yeah, total of $60,000 that we can dole out, and that could be two neighborhoods of 30, or it could be five neighborhoods of 12, you know, something like that.
Is that put on there to maintain the fund balance, that we don't deplete it all at once? Or?
It's to protect our budget, more or less. Yeah, that's really.
If everybody said, "Oh, I've got $30,000 worth of work,"
right?
It's a $250,000 a year.
Right, and this is very predictable. Right, it's a predictable cap. You can spend between $1,000 and minimum is $1,000 to spend here, and it's limited. The project limits to right of way improvements. So we voted. The commission voted last year that we would review this program. And that's what I'm here today to review with you. Staff does not recommend any changes at this time to the program. We have not received any complaints or comments about the program. So staff would like to recommend at this time no changes be made to the program and to allow staff to issue a letter providing these fund balances information to the neighborhoods.
CCRC has been quiet, so
that's a motion. I'll make that motion to support staff's recommendation.
Was that a motion?
That's a motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All right, all in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. So moving on to the transient parking activity reports.
That was our party day, Tom.
Thank you. And
3 minutes versus 3 months. Last year, that was my first one.
Whoa, what's going on? This is a healthy conversation.
It was it's satisfying to get the work done. It's satisfying. Okay, so.
Finding the historical information was like a little
piece. Yes.
I appreciate you guys all doing that work. Yeah. I know it was a lot, and to compile and find it. Thank you. Because our neighbors were like, bait and switch, you guys did this. And I'm like, no, just give
them
time.
And Diana, from the staff, we have to thank you for being that barrier.
Yeah, yeah. Happy to be that. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Especially the first few months. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you. Just quickly looking at specific lots, June versus June, 25 versus 24. This is revenue earned per month. So Pennington Garage, we saw a 28% increase. Depot Plaza, a little bit of a negative. We highlighted Centro because we lost Hi-Fi as a tenant of that building. But you can see only a 2% reduction, $773 reduction. So we don't think that there's been too much of an impact, but we'll keep watching that. There is talk of a new tenant moving into the former Hi-Fi space. I don't know who that is, but they want to use a grease trap. So it sounds like a restaurant and bar. So we're eagerly waiting. We know the economic development team, the city manager's office is excited about somebody coming in there. So hopefully soon we hear that news. Library Garage up 35%, City State up 33%, Tool down 30%, but that only equates to $840. We're talking negligible differences here. Triangle down, Arts District up, and Franklin and Warehouse both up 7%. So overall, 8% increase, $11,000 June over June. I'll take any questions on that.
Questions, and we will move on to the financial report and five-year plan update.
All right, I get to stop talking and hand it over to Tiffany.
Good morning. Trudy's out today, so I'm going to be stepping in to present the financials. So these are June financials, but something to keep in mind, these are not final year numbers. We do still have till the end of the month to get expenditures in, so these numbers will adjust. We have until the end of August to close out the fund. So we'll be updating you on FY25 as we're moving into the new year as well. So starting with our revenues, we did see the increase with off-street of 6%, and our on-street is flat, with our on-street permit program showing an increase of 11%, citation showing an increase of 3%, and then our overall revenue was just down slightly by 1% versus last year. So $52,543 difference between FY25 and FY24 with our revenues. Is there any questions on revenue? With our expenses, I think this is awesome. With our total expenses, you see that we decreased 15% versus last year. And so it gives us a surplus for the year at $399,436. And so keeping in mind, we had that deficit at the beginning. So right now we're ending at a deficit of the $172,661. Something to keep in mind, again, that's gonna adjust as we get more expenses in and we finalize those numbers. So these will adjust, but this gives a really good picture of where we're sitting from last year. Is there any questions?
Anybody?
If I may just add real quick, I just have to say how proud I am of the Parks Tucson team. It was tough reducing costs. You know, as Tiffany mentioned, reducing costs by 15% is a very notable achievement. Jose here runs our off-street parking operation. So Jose brought in an additional 6%, additional $173,000. So our off-street is really, really carrying us. And our on-street parking service agent team, an additional $16,000 this year with the short staff. This is citation revenue I'm talking about. To accomplish that with the short staff is really remarkable. And you know, operating expenses overall down 4%. So I want to say thank you to the team. And it was hard. You know, security costs were a lot of that. We did cut a lot of hours, so say really, really cut down to the bare minimum on security, and that's our biggest expense. We were able to hold our security services rates at the previous year rate. Every January, the contractor has the right to increase rates. They do that with the whole city. They did that with the whole city, but we said no, not for us, not for Park Tucson, and they held that for us for 6 months. The rates just went up July 1st, but we did a great job, I think, working with them for last year, holding those rates down. So, thank you.
Awesome. So going into, we did remove this page, but we put it in for this final review, is our budget versus actuals. In FY25, our budget was kind of copied from the previous year. So it's not the best picture when we're really comparing it. Again, when you're looking at our expenses, we decreased such a large amount from previous year. So I think that's really the biggest focus versus looking at where we hit with the budget. Going into our FY26, we have a great budget. We really worked through it. And so I think you'll see when those numbers come out that it gives a better picture of what our actuals will probably be looking at.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, thank you, staff. I can tell you some awful hard work done. Okay, so we're going to move on to the subcommittee reports. Finance and capital needs.
We met the three of us, and basically went over what you just heard. Don't have a lot to add. We had a few questions taken, got a few answers, and move forward.
Thank you. And then business district parking?
Yes, we met last week. A lot of what was covered today was on that agenda, and Holly and Alexis and many others that were in that did share not missing anything. I think two important things that we did discuss and had some action items that staff turned around pretty quick as we wanted clarity on what was the timeline, if there was a possibility for the commission to comment on that Menlo Park parking plan. So we discussed that quite a bit and wondered, is there still an opportunity to weigh in? And since that Friday meeting over the weekend, Tom figured out our avenues to engage. So thank you for that. That was a big item. The other was that really stood out to me is we talked with staff about some data that we can be reviewing in the subcommittee, but also at the full commission level, really month over month for at least the next 6 to 12 months of what what's the traffic and transaction rates that we're seeing overall in downtown, Fourth Ave, Mercado, University, based on that meter enforcement hour extension. And so again, weighing some of those concerns we heard from merchants, the concerns that we heard here in the commission, what is the data telling us? Are we seeing less traffic? Are we seeing less customers? Are we seeing people go, well, I used to come into downtown and didn't have to pay for dinner, so I'm not coming downtown and paying that extra, those extra 2 hours for dinner. Those were all hypothetical concerns and questions that we raised. And I think our subcommittee really impressed on staff. What data can we start looking at and compiling to assess which of those concerns are coming true and which thankfully are not? And that, I think that allows us to keep advocating and also keep informing mayor and council. So, and anything else important that I missed?
Thank you very much. Neighborhood residential parking.
I have a monthly meeting of Congress, and it's going to be the first time in memory that I've had to come out to pay. I get there at 5, 4:35 o'clock, so I usually just ignore the that half hour and go ahead and head on in. So I just have to pay this time.
So are you moving your meeting or are you gonna
we're gonna keep going to tires.
There's a data point.
Keep us
informed. If it changes, let us know. Yeah. So the letter to Mayor and Council regarding the reduction in parking came out of neighborhood subcommittee. And then the only other thing is that there have been two neighborhoods that approached Tom to join the residential parking program. One is within boundaries and the other is not.
Is there any update on that or anything?
No, we're just waiting on those neighborhoods to ask to be part of the program, but they haven't officially done that.
Okay.
Do you think there'll be any, obviously, if they're not in the boundaries, that would have been looked at council to get
it? It would take a change to Mayor Council. Yeah, Mayor Council would have to make that change.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, and then did the marketing subcommittee meet?
Yes, marketing subcommittee met last week. Kathy, Valeria, and myself, along with Tom and staff. Thanks to Lindsay, spent a lot of time with us on that call, kind of walking us through the website information update, as well as traffic numbers on the Parking Sun site. The August parking newsletter topics were reviewed. Some of the things we've discussed here today on street commuter student permit sales and the text to pay were also reviewed. And we adjourned in 48 minutes.
So the next agenda item is a very sad one. So we are going to talk about the parking administrator's transition. So you want to let us know what's going on?
Sure. I don't have a lot of new updates for you, but I am sad that this Friday, July 25th, is my last day here with the city. I will be missing everybody and cheering everybody on. As you continue, I'm excited about the progress that you've made, and I know this body will continue making a lot of progress. J.R. Kelly is going to be your contact for anything operational. He's filling in, and Erica Garcia can also be contacted, as Erica is... sends out the invites and handles the commission business. Deputy Executive Director Andy Bemis can also be contacted. I can resend that information, but an email with this information was distributed early July. The recruitment for the Park Tucson Administrator is ongoing. The position's open. The recruitment ends July 28th. And if you know anybody that's interested, please point them to the Tucson website, HR website, in the next 6 days for that hire. But I know the team is going to be just fine. They did great before me. They'll do great after me. I have no worries whatsoever. We have a great team with the city, and I know it's going to continue to be successful, and momentum will continue. So. That's really all I have as far as the transition, but I can take any questions.
Are there any questions or comments at this point?
I'll make a comment. I joined the commission approximately a year ago, and it's been exciting to see some of the changes implemented under your leadership. And I understand the challenges that resulted from the transition. Donovan was a larger than life personality in the community. And filling those shoes was not an easy prospect. So congratulations to you and best wishes back in California with your family.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you for working with me. It's been a pleasure working with each and every one of you. I remember what Jeffrey told me. He said, don't try to fill Donovan's shoes, just focus on parking, right? And that was your point. So thank you, Jeffrey, for that advice. You're right, it was impossible. Possible to fill those shoes. And one of the highlights I always remember is the naming of the Donovan Dermott underpass here. here on 6th. So his memory and his contributions will live forever, and I'm happy to have played a small part in that.
And yes, and I really appreciate all the hard work and dedication, and your shoes will be then I think we have future agenda items. I think there's several of these things that we just need to kind of keep on for an update next week. Are there any other agenda items that we want to include?
Was another, I'm so sorry, I wrote that down. Jared, remind me, one more item if we can move back to number 16.
Oh, sure, yeah. The transition,
yes. Yes, it's right here. I put it under that line. Sorry. Thank you, Jared. Staff would like to ask the commission to postpone or to cancel the commission and the subcommittee meetings in the month of August.
Oh, okay.
As we get through the transition, and to consider canceling the meetings in September as well. So staff is asking the commission to vote on holding no meetings in the month of August and at your consideration September as well.
Are there any comments or input on that?
May I ask why both months?
They're not sure how long it's going to take to hire an administrator. It's supposed to close the 28th, but they're expecting to not interview till probably mid-August. And then they, you know, depending on where that person is from, it could be a month before they're on board. Andy did say that, like, the subcommittees could meet, but staff would not be available to meet during those meetings.
Absolutely. So, yes, the meetings can continue to take place without staff during that time.
I can't think of anything pressing or work in progress or deadlines. We kind of wrapped a lot of that up today, right? Am I missing?
Yeah, I mean, we've got the approval to send the right letter out, and then to have you include in your letter our input on the two apartment projects. I mean, it makes sense to me given the timing of things, and it probably, will definitely be October. A new administrator would be ready to start engaging in meetings.
I'd offer a motion to accept staff's recommendation on cancellation of August and September meetings, with the caveat that if a new director is put in place and wants to call the commission together in September, that we be notified and they have the ability to do that despite this motion.
I'll second that. All right. I'd like to add an in-person with the first one with the new administrator.
Will we be at that anyway?
October.
Yeah, we would be.
October.
Yeah, right? October. Yeah. Okay. So is there any further comment on the motion that's on the floor? All in favor? Oh, yes, Valerie.
Can we get like a financial report in like September if we don't have a meeting?
Yes. Great. Absolutely, we can do that.
Okay.
All right, all in favor of the motion?
That was Island and Bill. Gail second.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you guys for that. All right, so we will see everybody in 3 months. All right.
Miss you, Tom.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll miss you too. Thank you so much.
So we are
over there.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.